Change is happening faster than ever, and it's never been more important to know what's next. At Hogan Lovells, our 2800 global lawyers understand the legal and business challenges coming at companies from all directions. Every day, we're talking with clients and colleagues within the industry about how not only to tackle, but conquer the most significant issues that we all face. And our What's Next podcast brings that dialogue straight to you. In this episode, Hogan Lovells partner Harriet Pearson, who leads our global multidisciplinary cybersecurity practice, speaks with Lindsay Finch, Senior Vice President, Global Privacy and Product Legal of Salesforce.com, about the transforming data privacy landscape, the importance of trust, and the relationship between compliance and innovation. Let's get started.
This is Harriet Pearson with Hogan Lovells. I am so glad, Lindsay Finch, you have joined our podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Harriet. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, you and I are both privacy and data security lawyers, and you have a really wonderful role at Salesforce.com. You are Senior Vice President, Global Privacy and Product Legal. And I've heard you say many times that at Salesforce, trust is your number one value, and that there's nothing more important to the company than the privacy of customer data. What's behind these statements, and what role do you and your team play with respect to trust and privacy?
So Salesforce was founded in 1999, and we were born in the cloud. And we understand trust, privacy, and security issues intimately because I don't know about you, but back in 1999, I was barely on a dial-up connection. And so the idea of trusting a cloud service provider to run your business was quite radical. And our privacy model has always been quite simple. Our customers' data belongs to them. We don't use it for any other purpose, and it is our job to do our best to protect it. And we have a strong culture of privacy focused on putting individuals in control of their personal data, protecting that information, and being accountable for our practices. And these commitments are top of mind for each employee and every department on a continual basis.
Those kinds of actions really are what business expectations are these days for data privacy. And what I'm seeing in my own practice is that increasingly, clients of ours are appointing someone, it's usually a lawyer, but not always so, to manage the data privacy issues for their company. And as you mentioned, Salesforce was relatively early to this since you've been on board about 10 years now. Can you describe a typical day in the life of a privacy counsel in a company? What are the major tasks that you and your team consider to be part of your purview as you counsel your client and your company through data privacy concerns?
So to use the European parlance, Salesforce acts as both a data controller and a data processor. So like all organizations, we are a data controller, or we collect and determine how personal data is used as it relates to personal data we collect from our employees, as well as from our customers and prospective customers to have a business relationship with them. And we are also a data processor in delivering our services to our customers in terms of the information that our customers submit to our cloud computing services. And our obligations as it relates to being a controller and processor are different, but quite related. And so we have a holistic global privacy program in place that is looking at our activities as both a controller and a processor under many different countries' laws. And so what we're really focused on is looking at these laws around the world and boiling them down into principles that are then actionable for our various colleagues across our different departments around the company to make sure that they are following.
So that's both an art and a science, so to speak, to translate these laws into what is meaningful for an organization. But what I also see, Lindsay, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, is part of being attentive to the data privacy issues is out of looking around the corner at what your company or companies might be doing with data in the months and days ahead. Some companies are looking at increasingly using biometrics. Many are looking at artificial intelligence and gathering and repurposing personal information data sets. Others are looking at geolocation information that is more and more available. So how do you all consider kind of these more new areas, and how do you make an allowance for the times where you need to sit down and kick around some issues versus translating into processes that enable compliance? Both can coexist, I imagine, right?
Oh, yes. And it's such an incredibly exciting time right now. You know, the World Economic Forum is talking about the fourth industrial revolution and the explosion of data that we are seeing in terms of what companies are collecting and what individuals are putting on social media platforms, and really how there's more expectation from individuals to be having personalized journeys, but at the same time, also an incredibly high demand that they want to trust the organizations with whom they entrust their data. And when you look at really that explosion of data, there's a lot of opportunity there, but there's also a lot of responsibility. And organizations really need to be looking around the corner, as you said, at what these risks are and what could go wrong and how to prevent that. And so this is something that we spend a lot of time at Salesforce talking about cross-functionally, because the lawyers are generally not the most innovative in a company. We try to work very closely with our technology team to make sure that we're understanding what's a year, 5 years, even 10 years out, so that we can begin to look at not only the opportunities, but also the risks. And I think this is where it's also really helpful to work with a law firm, folks such as yourself, to really understand what's going on in the industry more broadly. What are regulators thinking about this, to really stay on top of those issues?
Every day we wake up and we hear another story and see another example of privacy as a social issue, as a societal type of a consideration in a world that is changing all around us. But fundamentally, when you're in a legal function in a company, this is a hot area and one where the senior leadership of the company increasingly is expecting some contribution from the legal function. And one reason for that is that there are so many privacy laws that apply to business. The most notable one that is getting a lot of attention these days is the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR. It's probably the most talked about privacy law at the moment, in my view, at least. Would you agree? And why is that, do you think?
Oh, it's definitely top of mind right now. And I think it's received a lot of attention for a couple key reasons. First is the incredibly broad scope of the law. This is not just an EU issue. The GDPR applies to companies that have no physical presence in the EU if they're targeting EU individuals. And so that's, I think, a fairly unprecedented scope for a privacy law. And then there's the fines. Companies can be subject for fines of up to 4% of their global annual revenue for non-compliance. But what I'm most excited about is really when you're looking at GDPR, there's certainly a big stick that's in place. But I also look at it as a really big carrot, because companies are really starting to look at their privacy programs more holistically, and GDPR specifically, as an opportunity to strengthen these programs and to put individuals and their preferences at the center of everything they're doing. The GDPR is incredibly complex and lengthy, and as a lawyer, I know that's something we can geek out and get, you know, quite excited about. But really, a blueprint for looking at GDPR and so many of these other privacy laws is really thinking about who are these individuals to whom the personal data relates. And what are they thinking about this? What have they agreed to? What do they expect? And when you're putting those individuals at the center of your privacy program, I think you're not only well positioning yourself to have great customer relationships, but also to comply with the law.
I would agree. Some of this, I think, falls into the category, though, of easier said than done. I think so many companies say and try to achieve customer centricity, putting the consumer or the customer at the center of it all. But you know what? It's so hard. And what is interesting is here we have in the GDPR an example of a law that is really going to drive that home. True compliance with GDPR, I know from working with a lot of organizations on designing their programs, really does mean coming to grips with how to communicate with the consumer about what is happening to information, giving them choices, and designing processes to enable those choices. I think it's a very paradigm-shifting law, not because it's the first time the law's been written that way, but because there is now some incredible enforcement and fining power behind it. That's at least what I'm seeing. Would you agree with that, Lindsay?
Absolutely. And I think also with the GDPR, you know, really formalizing this concept of accountability, you know, organizations need now to not only comply, but to be able to demonstrate their compliance. And so this is one of the reasons that the privacy profession is taking off so much, is to make sure that organizations are doing the right thing, but also having all the right record keeping in place. One of the really exciting parts of privacy field overall right now that's also been formalized in GDPR is the concept of privacy by design and privacy impact or data protection impact assessments, where organizations are really having to think about privacy throughout the data handling lifecycle and document those risks and make sure that those are taken into consideration. It doesn't mean that, you know, certain processing activities can't necessarily take place, but that organizations are really reflecting on what are the impacts and how are they doing right by the individuals with whom they're doing business. This is really a cross-functional effort that you have folks from marketing, from sales, from human resources, all involved, and can't simply be the responsibility of a privacy or a legal team.
So you just can't say it's your job, privacy lawyer. You can't just do that. Or what exactly, if you drill into it, is the role of the privacy lawyer or the legal compliance function then?
Yes. Yeah, so as I mentioned before, you know, the GDPR is an incredibly rich document. And the role that my team has played is really taking the requirements from the law and boiling them down into key principles that are applicable to our different business processing activities. So for example, Salesforce acts as a data controller as it relates to data about our employees, as well as data that we collect from our customers and prospective customers to have a business relationship with them. And so for those activities, we were, of course, partnering very closely with our human resources department, sales, marketing, IT, to make sure we have all the right systems in place. But our business model is providing enterprise cloud computing solutions. And in that respect, we are a data processor acting at the instruction of our customers, who are typically data controllers. And that has been a very exciting project for us, working with our technology and products team to do wholesale reviews of all of our products, to really ensure two things. First, that we are compliant with GDPR as a data processor, but also, and I think more excitingly, to be looking at our services through the eyes of our customers to ensure that they can use our services in a legally compliant way. And so when we look back at, you know, what are the roles of privacy or legal and compliance versus the other business stakeholders, it's really a partnership. But what's important is that the privacy legal compliance team is really boiling down the requirements into something that is actionable for the business and not something that is theoretical.
You talked a lot about the compliance actions in terms of planning for products and product changes that might need to be made. Any other key actions in your view?
Yes. So I would say once you have in place what it is that you need to do to comply, is to conduct an assessment across the organization in terms of where your readiness is, and to really be looking at that from a risk-based standpoint and determine what needs to happen first. And so I think in work that I do with a lot of Salesforce customers, companies are really in various places in their GDPR journeys. Some are definitely more ahead of the game than others. But wherever companies are on their journey, it's important to take a step back, look at that gap analysis, and figure out where are the key risks, and to really focus the efforts there. And as we're talking about some of the privacy issues being perhaps more, shall we say, theoretical in nature, I think it's really important to really take a step back also, and at the end of the day, think about the individuals to whom the personal data relates, and think about this from their perspective. What do they reasonably expect given what's happening? And I think that does a lot to demystify what needs to be done and really looking at this from a risk-based perspective.
It certainly does. I love that story or that approach of thinking about the individual and keeping them in mind, even while deciphering legal requirements. And what I've told clients for years, and it's actually my little personal secret for how to advise on privacy issues, is go home and go have dinner with your family. And if you would be happy to describe to them in concept the project that you're working on, the new marketing initiative, the new artificial intelligence initiative you might be working on, then you're probably in a good place with respect to the privacy practices. If, on the other hand, you would hesitate a bit and wonder what the reaction would be of your aunts and uncles or cousins or brothers or sisters to the project, this new initiative you're working on, then you might have some more work to do with respect to thinking through the data privacy practices. That's a benchmark, so to speak.
I love that.
Might be useful.
That's fantastic, Harriet. Thank you for that tip.
It's fancy legal reasoning, but it works a lot of the time on these issues. And, you know, and we've talked a lot about GDPR and this new European privacy legal framework. Many of the folks that might listen to this podcast would be operating in the United States, Asia, or other parts of the world. Can you comment, Lindsay, on whether the work that you and your colleagues are doing and you see other companies taking on for GDPR compliance, is this work that can be useful in other parts of the world?
Oh, absolutely. Whether you're looking at GDPR or you're looking at the relatively new Japan privacy law, the updated Australian privacy law, even the sector-specific laws here in the U.S., such as HIPAA and Gramm-Leach-Bliley, there's a lot of complexity to distill, but at the end of the day, most of these laws really do boil down to a number of principles. They all share a lot with, you know, the OECD data protection principles from the early 1980s, but then add on their own specifics based on the culture of their given country or region. But all of the work that a company is doing for GDPR or to comply with any of these other laws really can go together, and there should not be duplicative efforts.
So we've talked about a fair number of actions and issues that in-house counsel would now, in almost every kind of company, be asked to counsel on. So how do you go about, Lindsay, in making the case for a resource? How would you suggest others might think about how large their team might need to be? Most of the companies I see and work with, they are fortunate to have one person or even half a person who might be in the legal team focused on data privacy and security. But I suspect that'll change and grow. How would you go about articulating the factors or the thought process to argue or to state the level of resource that a company might need internally in their legal team?
So right now, trust is very top of mind for senior executives. There's a lot happening in the news right now, whether we're looking at data use scandals, growing number of data breaches, and the idea of trust, whether that be customer trust, public trust, shareholder trust, overall stakeholder trust, is very top of mind. And privacy is a very key component of ensuring that stakeholder trust. And so before even getting into the specifics of GDPR or any other specific privacy law, I would really step back and have that conversation with senior leadership about trust and really look at the front pages of newspapers right now. Very little right now relates to specific laws, but just more generally, what can happen when a company begins to lose trust from its stakeholders?
So just a little bit more detail, do you think a company is well served to have, you know, for GDPR compliance or generally to watch over the trust posture of a company as it relates to data and privacy and security? Do you see the role of the privacy council really taking off at the moment? And how do you think that ought to work?
Absolutely. So privacy is a fundamental part of trust, as are security and just, you know, overall ensuring that stakeholders are feeling good about how a company is acting, you know, ethics, integrity overall. And I think that, you know, privacy has a very key part to play in that, but it's also important to ensure that companies are creating a culture of trust, a culture of privacy, a culture of integrity and security. because while it's important to have professionals that are focused on these areas and help guide the company, this is not something that can be outsourced to a single person or function.
So just as with so many of the challenges facing companies, this really is multidisciplinary. And, you know, you can't just hire one person and kind of go on. It really does need some work across the organization. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And I would also observe, just based on daily practice here where I work with companies, almost every organization is either hiring or is about to hire a privacy lawyer or professional or somebody to be the steward of the kind of efforts that you've just described so well for us, Sunzi. And I suspect that'll grow. And I suspect also that you'll agree with me that when you and I first entered the field of privacy law and compliance, I routinely was asked, why are you taking a left turn from your career? You know, and I started in, you know, completely different area of law. And I was used to be asked, you know, why are you working on this, these issues? And it was a little bit lonely 20 years ago, 15 years ago. You'd say, well, you know, these are issues of the future. They are really going to be important. And now I think if we were speaking to lawyers who are just graduating or getting into a specialty and they're looking for guidance on the fields where there will be growth and demand and that are interesting, definitely data privacy, data security are some of the it fields. I see that. I assume you do too, from where you sit, Lindsay.
Oh, absolutely. The field certainly isn't going away anytime soon. And we have both seen some incredible changes in the field over the last 20 years. And it really makes sense that the field is growing, because privacy is becoming more and more important as an increasing amount of personal data is being collected and used. And the organizations involved in those processing activities need to make sure that they're not only complying with the growing number of laws impacting that data, but they're also really thinking about the individuals behind that data. And that's one of the reasons that I got into privacy and continue to be so passionate about the area is I'm a people person. And at the end of the day, privacy is really a human issue.
It is. And though, you know, the IT industry, health, financial services, and a few others really have been probably first in formalizing their privacy programs, but more and more we're seeing companies in industrial, agricultural, you name the field, and there are definite compliance needs. Lindsay Finch, thank you for joining our podcast. Thanks for having this conversation with me about what's next in the area of privacy law and compliance and some useful tips that others can perhaps use and apply in their own business. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Harriet. It's a pleasure.
For more information on this topic or to learn how we're helping other clients solve their toughest problems, visit HoganLovells.com. Music for this podcast was created by Jazzar. Check out their library at betterwithmusic.com.